Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. And because I was dared, may the fourth be with you. And whether you have been here your whole life or are still a new Star Wars fan, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways that you can learn more about the ways we are church together is to check out your bulletin. There are announcements and also a calendar of upcoming events. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning for any of your questions or comments that you would like to share, so don't hesitate to talk with that person. Also, in your pews, there are green hospitality registers. Please sign your name so that we can greet one another. Even if you don't normally sign it, it's really helpful for the person sitting next to you, just in case they don't know who you are, to be able to greet you by name. And a note about communion this morning. Normally, we have the liturgy all printed in your bulletin for you. We're trying something a bit different this morning. Our purple Glory to God hymnals have fabulous resources in them, and so we are actually going to be using the liturgy that's printed in there. You'll see the little note in your bulletin about it. Take a look at those pages, familiarize yourself, and prior to the start of the celebration of communion, I'll also do a little bit more of a walkthrough so it's still fresh for you. A note from the trustees. Thank you for everyone who came for, I keep calling it fall cleanup because of the weather, but spring cleanup. Things are looking great around here. So thank you for all those volunteers. And a few other announcements this morning, Sherry.
Good morning. I'd like to draw your attention to the green insert in your bulletin and the bottom of the first page. There's a note that says yard sale meeting, Thursday, May 8th and 6:30 in the Adult Lounge. The first meeting that we had was just me, so I'd really appreciate anyone who can attend to come would be awesome. Also, parents of Sunday school students, there are notes that your teachers have to give to you about preparations for Children's Sunday on June 8th. Thank you.
Good morning. Today is the last opportunity to provide your input on the mission statement for GPC, our last face-to-face opportunity, I should say. We're going to be meeting in the adult lounge after worship. This is the last fireside chat, so we will be discussing some of the questions about the mission statement and GPC's vision for the future. So please come. Doesn't matter whether you've signed up or not. Just please attend, and we look forward to your comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol Ann.
Senior highs, youth group tonight, 6 to 8. Hope to see you there.
And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you.
Amen. Please stand if you are comfortable and able for the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. How glorious it is to proclaim Jesus' resurrection.
At his death, our hearts cried out, and we held hopeless.
But he comes to us and walks with us even now.
In scripture, music, prayers, and at the table, he is present with us.
Open your hearts to the Lord.
May all creation join to sing.
Alleluia.
Join me, please, in the prayer of confession found in the bulletin. Lord, you are so patient with us. You brought us through Easter when we rejoiced at the news of the resurrection of Jesus. You were with us in the upper room when we remained hidden out of our fears. We share with Thomas our doubts and anxieties. Now come to us on the road. You come to us in our everyday lives, moving out of this well-organized setting of worship into the messy work of my world. We let so many things crowd in our lives, intrusions distract your presence. Help us to keep our hearts open to you, to experience and share the good things you have done in our lives. In the name of the risen one, we pray. Take a few moments now for some silent prayers of confession. Amen. God may come to us unrecognized as a stranger. May the words of grace and forgiveness of our always present God continue to burn in our hearts.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. All right. I'm so glad to see each one of you. Makes me want to shout hallelujah just seeing you. I brought a picture to show you today. Can you tell me what you see? A tiger. You're spoiling my sermon. What else do you see? Trees? Trees and a forest? Leaves? Water? Yeah, there is some water in there, I think. When I look at it, the first time I looked at it, I saw a forest with exactly what you said. Trees and leaves and a little water. It's some rocks, but you were exactly right. What else can you see in there? You said it. A tiger. You're right. A tiger. Does it look maybe like a tiger? Do you see his ears there? Can you see his eyes right there? There's a tiger in there. Made out of the trees, right. It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, it's crazy. Sometimes we just don't see the whole picture. Sometimes we think the first thing we see is the real thing. But really, when we look a little closer, two tigers. You see two tigers. One right there. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. You know, this reminds me of our Bible story today. It's a story of a bunch of people, a couple people, walking home. It was after Easter. And all of a sudden, a stranger comes up to them. And they're like, should I talk to this person? He seemed kind of nice. So they started talking to the person, and they started telling the person all about what had happened in Jerusalem, how Jesus had died, and that Jesus was in the tomb, and how sad they were because Jesus was such a good friend. So then the stranger started telling them a whole bunch of Bible stories. And they had this nice conversation. Well, it was such a nice conversation that the people decided to invite the stranger to dinner. So the stranger had dinner with them. And then the stranger took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And all of a sudden, the people
people knew who that stranger was. Who was it? Jesus. That's right. They were very amazed because they thought Jesus was dead. And now Jesus was sitting right in front of them, breaking the bread and blessing it. Sometimes things just aren't exactly like they seem. And sometimes we make judgments before we know the whole truth. And even though we don't see Jesus, we know Jesus is with us. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to care for us, even though we don't see him. We know he's with us. Amen. All right, you may go to your classes.
First reading of the word is from first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God.
Thank you.
Our second reading of the Word this morning comes from Luke's Gospel. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have taken place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. Then he was at table with them. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up, returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathering together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared, as he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled, terrified, and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, to stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." While our Lenten theme here at GPC of the abundance of enough ended 2 weeks ago now, believe it or not, I did not make it through the 40 days in 40 bags in 40 days decluttering challenge so many of us have been talking about. As you can imagine, Holy Week crept up on me, and so did the very brief interlude with warmer temperatures, causing me to abandon the spiritual practice for the sunshine. One can hardly blame me, since in Rochester we take our limited vitamin D opportunities very seriously. And despite Easter coming and going, last weekend, my family took advantage of the dreary rain by cleaning out the basement and readying piles of donations for the churchyard sale. There are kids' toys, an old lamp, and boxes and boxes and boxes of books. I can never quite figure out where all the books come from, but maybe, just maybe, it has something to do with the fact that I buy more books at the yard sale than I bring back each year. But looking at all of those books, it reminded me of one book that I came across one year on those unsteady shelves set up in the preschool room. It was a book of poems, looking hardly used. It's unusual to find a brand new book among all the well-worn John Grisham and Nora Roberts novels. Opening to the center, I heard the crack of the binding glue, and I flipped to the front page, where there was an inscription, "To my darling husband," with a name written neatly beneath, and a number, which I assumed were the number of years that they were married. And it occurred to me, as I was looking at the inscription, that the man had died within the year, and they didn't make it to that anniversary celebration the book was so lovingly purchased for. And I thought to myself, but they had hoped. We tend not to hang on to such physical reminders of a future that will not be, dreams that did not come true, or hopes of all that could have happened but won't be. So I find it fascinating that the Gospel of Luke not only hangs on to such a reminder, but spends a long time telling such a story of lost hopes. Holy Week may feel like a distant memory to us, but for Cleopas and his unnamed companion, perhaps it is his wife, whom he has shared many years of life with, or simply a friend. But for them, Holy Week feels like it was yesterday. In fact, it pretty much was. Only 3 days ago, from where our story began this morning, the companions saw Jesus crucified, and their hopes in him were crushed. Their words and hearts are heavier than any Passover supplies they are now carrying home with them from the holy city. They were followers of the man from Galilee, cruelly executed by the Romans with collusion by temple authorities. We don't know if they believed the stories of the women of the empty tomb, or if they were among the apostles who believed it to be an idle tale. What Cleopas and his companion believe is that they bet their lives on the wrong Savior. And now they had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. English translations of the Greek make this "had been hope" sound long forgotten, when in reality the Greek imperfect tense suggests the lost hope clings to their hearts like the dust from the road on blistered and cracked feet. How quickly we want to move this story along to the companions recognizing the stranger as the risen one and watch them rush back to Jerusalem to proclaim the Lord has risen indeed. Without pausing, here on this road of broken-hearted steps and unrecognized resurrection. Perhaps some of it has to do with our discomfort in Jesus' rather fundamentalist approach to their despair. We might hear it as Bible-thumping, scripture-quoting, and even a multi-point lecture on messianic completion. And then it feels like he rounds it out with what some commentators interpret as Jesus shaming the companions' failure to imagine the Messiah would actually make a difference in the world. Hoping the Messiah, at minimum, would be able to stand up against Rome, the representation of all that was wrong with the Jewish world in the first century. I'm with theologians who assert such commentators are wrong in assuming these words heap shame among the travelers. One theologian writes that that's a little like blaming a baseball manager for imagining that a shortstop would field grounders and throw the ball to first base. It's a little like blaming a bereaved family for being astonished to discover that a surgeon played darts with scalpels on a patient instead of performing a proper operation. We all know it's the shortstops that field and throw. Surgeons excise tumors, and messiahs make a difference in the face of imperial violence, not the travelers. The companions on the road know that what they had hoped has died. And so what they are now doing is working through how they feel about all that and what that now means for their life and their faith and the entire world. We as the church haven't always done the best job of inviting and allowing people to name and acknowledge the places where they had hoped. It's not that we're cold or callous. I think it has more to do with our feelings of inadequacy in being present with others on the road of brokenness or even walking with our own. Our response is to quickly offer resolution. And we do so in a casual way we may not even think about. In my experience, the most well-meaning, yet not so comforting two words we can say to someone walking this road of brokenheartedness and lost hopes are, "At least." A friend shares the news of the death of his sister's husband. At least they had all those years together. A cousin experiences a miscarriage. At least she can get pregnant. A coworker tells of being passed over for a promotion. At least you have a job. A son receives the rejection letter from a much loved and sought after college. And dad says, "At least you have the grades to get into your second choice." The companions on the road tell Jesus, "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." And rather than immediately moving them to, "At least you have the resurrection, here I am," he shares with them the stories of faith where so many had hoped. Stories including Moses, who had long hoped for the promised land. Stories of Abraham, who had hope in the divine promise that he would become the father of a large nation, although he had no son, with he and his wife in old age. The story of Ruth clinging to Naomi, who had hoped for a long life with her husband and sons. Stories of David, who had hoped under his rule the nation of Israel would always prosper, enemies would always be defeated, and divine promises would be fulfilled. 14 generations of hope from Abraham to Joseph, husband of Mary, who had hoped the words of the angel were true, and Jesus would be the Messiah to save the Israelite people from the horrid violence of the Roman occupation. The travelers felt, through their burning in their hearts, this stranger who understood their loss as disappointment. And so they invited him to stay the evening. And then it was a round table with the blessing and breaking of the bread. It was then their eyes were opened and they remembered the hope he brought. Hope that surrounds each one of us today as it did these two companions so many years ago. Hope that, as the Presbyterian Book of Order describes, that nourishing us when we rise from this table and sent by the power of the Holy Spirit to participate in God's mission to the world, to proclaim the gospel, to exercise compassion, to work for justice and peace until Christ's kingdom shall come at last. To be sure, we will find ourselves on the road to Emmaus with a lifetime of situations where we had hoped. There may even be times when we feel that life is completely unfair and that we have bet on the wrong Savior. Even there, even then, when things are darkest, Jesus shows up, walks beside us, shares stories of lost hope, shares a meal, and then sends us from the table to do the same. May we learn to walk, to listen, to share the gospel message, and to open our hearts to the mysteries of the risen one. He is risen. He is risen indeed. As our communion servers get in place, we will also find our place in the hymnal. Our new Glory to God hymnals have a vast number of resources in them and things we may not even notice until we open it up and use it. So this morning we are going to be using the liturgy that's printed in the hymnal. I'm going to walk us through it just a little bit so that we're comfortable and know where we're coming in. So if you have your hymnals open to page 8, not hymn number 8, but page 8, the liturgy for this morning is going to begin at the invitation to the Lord's table. You'll see about halfway down. We'll move up to the top of page 9 for the great thanksgiving that will be spoken, not sung, okay? The prayer will continue, and then you will be invited to remain seated while we sing Holy, Holy, Holy. That's printed there at the bottom of page 9. The prayer will continue, and you can turn to page 10. Then you will be invited into the memorial acclamation right there in the middle of page 10. We are going to use response B. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Everyone see that? Seeing nodding of heads. The prayer will continue, and to be honest, from there, you can relax. If you want to close your book, you can, but you are also invited to keep it open and even continue to look at the other parts of communion. We will be celebrating with passing of the bread and the juice, the elements. Please hold them. We do partake together. If you have a gluten intolerance, a reminder that there are little wafers in bags located on each tray, so please don't hesitate to take one of those. So friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from north and south, from east and west, to sit at the table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy Lord, everlasting God, who in the beginning brought light to the world and who continues to bring it love everlasting, your song of wisdom echoes through the ages. You have called your people to embrace your joy and share your love. But even when they have closed their ears to your song, you did not stop singing. You sent prophets and messengers, reminding your people of the promised time of peace and justice that would surround the world. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true. With heavenly choirs and the faithful of every time and place, the people sing.
God, for whom no door is closed, no journey is too long, no heart too broken. You sent your Son to walk beside us and to be for us the way, the truth, and the life. And we give you thanks that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he died, took bread, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." So remembering all your merciful and mighty acts, we take this bread and this wine from the gifts you have given us and celebrate with joy the risen one. Praise to you, Lord Jesus, dying,
you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table. And on the night before, he gave himself to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, as he takes us, common people, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, as he did by saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, he took his cup and he poured the wine. And he said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me."
Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate in joy together.
Thank you. bread of heaven for each of us. Amen.
And Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering Jesus.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I'd like to invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Good morning, Keisha Binko. I'd like to share prayers of joy. Many of you know my dear friend, Michelle Marshall. She became a grandma for the first time on Wednesday. Her son, Zach, and his wife, Sarah, gave birth 5 weeks early to a little boy named Kenny. Many of you maybe remember joining me in prayer as we prayed Zachary through his Navy SEAL training. I guess that SEAL training really prepares you for pretty much anything, because he helped his wife deliver the baby in their bathroom only moments before the EMTs arrived. So prayers of joy that that they're happy and well and everything is going well for them.
Allison Tuttle, I have a prayer of concern and I have a joy. My mom passed her boards and is now a certified nurse practitioner.
Excellent.
So yay for her. And then on the flip side, she will need another surgery for her ongoing fight against breast cancer. So prayers for that to go well.
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. I don't know if you remember, a couple weeks ago I asked for prayers for a friend of Jessica's whose father had been moved into hospice, and unfortunately he lost his battle this week. So prayers for that family. Services are tomorrow.
Prayers because my social studies teacher found a new job. She was like a long-term substitute, and she found a job that she would be able to keep forever, and she's leaving Friday, and she's going to be starting next Monday.
Prayers of joy for your teacher on a new job. Amen.
I guess I don't need to read those now. They were so excited to pray. They came in. We have lots of prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for a new store and a new baseball season and a new baby. Prayers of joy for birthdays and prayers of joy for moms passing hard tests and also needing another surgery. Prayers of joy for babies and Boy Scouts, movies and sleepovers, for flag football, and lots of prayers for baseball. We're pretty excited about that. Prayers of joy for time with family, overnights at grandma's, and trips to the Butterfly Museum. Prayers of joys from our children.
Let us pray. God of the risen Christ, in the season of Easter, you have refreshed our spirits. Indeed, the buds on the trees and the blooms in our gardens remind us that new life is all around us, and our hearts dare to sing of hope. It is you, God, who surprises us, walking beside us in the difficult days of life, and gradually we open our hearts and minds to the unlimited possibilities you offer to us. We have come to your table this morning, and through your meal, we have been re-energized to be your faithful people. We sing in thanksgiving that your resurrection love is for us, and we search for ways to carry that love into your world. We come in prayer, praying for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, praying for the young women who were kidnapped in Nigeria, praying for our brothers and sisters in our own country fighting devastating flood loss, praying for those in our own communities struggling with difficult life challenges. Help us to leave this worship center with new wisdom, your wisdom. And hear us now as we pray together the prayer
of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's bring our gifts forward.
Ever-present God, we thank you for being with us when we least expect it and when we most expect it. May our gifts open the eyes of those to whom it goes, that they may know also that you walk with them. Amen.
Thank you.
rejoice in the mothering and fathering love of God.
Rejoice in the victorious life of our risen Savior.
Go living in the love of Christ.
You will go serving in Christ.
Let your love of God embrace your children, your family, your enemies, those who are far off and those who are strangers met on the road.
May our lives praise the Lord.
Amen.